service officer that saw, I can't help but picture God standing with his arms wide open. I know he did that for me once back in 1990, and he's done it. He hadn't saved me again, but there's been times I've ran to him and I needed him, and he's had his arms wide open, ready to forgive me and just love on me. I don't care how big of a man you are, there's times you just need to be loved on. Many times, my wife hates it that I take my emotions and my feelings and usually just bottle up. That's the way I was brought up. You don't bring that out. I know she hates it, but at least I've got God to go to.
That's right.
I'm going to take my reading out of John this morning, the fourth chapter of John, a very familiar reading, but God kind of gave me a curveball last night as I was kind of reading all week and learning on one thing. He kind of moved in a different direction, and still the same scripture here, but it goes kind of a little different direction, but I know he'll help me through it. As I come this way and I start to make plans and be here as your full time and not just on every other week or when I can make it up, every week I plan to be here, and I look at the church and being my first pastor, and even though I've watched my father as he pastored, and our pastor now I'm very good friends with and family with, so I talk to him a lot, and I see some of the struggles he goes through. I know I've not seen them all, but even as a member of a church in the world today, I'm worried. And if you're not, open your eyes. At Southside, where I am a member right at the moment, our numbers are dwindling. I don't know if the congregation that's here today, maybe about the same as there. And we used to have a lot more. And that's even after COVID. Before COVID, we had, even more. But the numbers are dwindling. People that are supposed to be saved and know the love of God and know what He has done for them, for some reason, are falling on the wayside. And I looked at the church even for years now, and I've thought, 20 years, where is it going to be? Good possibility. I won't be here. I'm 48, and with health problems, and who knows what I'm going to be in 20 years. But I want to know that my church is going to be there in 20 years. If you think about that, and I look at, as I come into this church, and I look at 20 years in the future, and I'm worried. I'm going to tell you, I am. And there is, the only way to really, we're going to change that is through God's help. Right. So in the fourth chapter of John, I'm going to start reading. And this is Jesus at the well with the woman at the well. And I do like that as he met her, she was a Samaritan. And the Jews, they had no dealings with each other. They didn't talk to each other. They didn't want to come together and meet at the well like this. And that's why it says that in the sixth verse, talks about being the sixth hour, which is basically noon at that time, was not the time that most people came to the well to draw water. For their breakfast, they wanted some water, so they came early and they got water. Well, she came at an odd time because she didn't want to be around the other people. One, she's a Samaritan. Two, she has other things in her life, as we'll see. But I'm going to start reading in the seventh verse. It says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." Back up just a little more, another little backstory. He had no business being here. he's going from Judea up to the north, and they usually went through another route, and he said that he needed to go through this way. He needed to go through Samaria. Normally, this would not be the path that they would go in their journey, but Jesus needed to make this stop. Okay, so he's meeting this woman, and I'm going to tell you, it's not by accident. It says, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, for I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She still doesn't understand that this is Jesus. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. Ye know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. My mistake's read, that's up until the 26th verse. You've heard this encounter many times, probably. And as we look at that, and we see this woman that has come to this man that is telling her things about herself that nobody should know, especially a stranger. And he is telling her all about her life. And he's telling her that he's got a water that is going to make her thirst never again. Not the natural thirst that, as I am right now, that it will be a short time and I'm going to be thirsty again. But he's talking about a inward water that he would place in her of salvation. And as she talked to him and they spoke and they went back and forth, and by the 26th verse here, I believe she knows who he is. She knows that this is the Messiah. She understands and knows with all of her being this is Christ, and I believe he saved her. I want to look at the next part now. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?
The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?
You gotta also understand during this time of Christ's earthly ministry, as he was on earth, things are really changing. The ways of old that the Jews have looked at all their life, and ways of salvation, and the ways of things that were done, of sacrifices, and the temple of being there, it's all changing with this man. Before all this, the Jews were God's chosen people. And the Jews are rejecting Jesus. And he's going into these Gentile nations and converting them. And the disciples are even confused by it, because they are also used to the old Jewish traditions, the Jewish ways. This is all new. We've dealt with this all of our life. We've understood that Christ came and died on the cross. So it almost seems like this doesn't make sense to us. If you put yourself in the time that this whole new idea of Jesus is here, that Jesus is going to die on the cross for us and we're going to see it, it's very confusing at times. Even though you're walking with the man, I can understand as just normal men, they don't understand what's going on. This guy is talking to a Samaritan, that don't make any sense. What he was doing was being an example for even us today. There are people in this world that it's said to us that, you know, why are you talking to them? They're not the people that we usually talk to. They have they do this on the side, or they do that, or we know that they are given to alcohol or given to drugs or whatever. All people need God.
Amen.
And if anybody knows that, it should be the people in this house today. The people that have been saved by God's grace know more than anybody how great God is. Haven't we said that all morning long? We've sang songs about it. I know that there's nothing in my life that is more important to me, that is more beneficial to me, that is everything to me than God. Nothing. This woman that just talked to Jesus, has just been saved, has understood that, and what's the first thing she does? She wants to go tell others. You flip over a page, or I gotta flip a page. And down in the 39th verse, from Jesus veering off his path of normal, he would normally go, going into Samaria, talking to a person that he shouldn't be talking to. In the 39th verse, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him. For the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believers because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy sayings, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's what one little woman did that wasn't necessarily anybody that Jesus should be talking to, was not somebody that would be respected in the world. She had 5 husbands. She went through things. And it's just not somebody that you would look to be that great of a person. But look what she did. By being there and talking to God and believing upon God and taking that back into their house and to people she knew, how many got saved? It says many of them and many more, so I don't know how many that is, but a good number of people were saved because of this little woman. And because of God, obviously, but her going back and telling them. We want to add to this church. We want to add to any church. We need to start talking to people. We need to not put limits on God of what he can do and who he can do it for. Because you never know who it could be. I'm not saying we go out and start dragging crosses through the street and just with megaphones and yelling all the time. That's what I feel like I want to do, but that is not going to be beneficial in the world because most people will turn that away. But you need to have a one-on-one talk like Jesus did here. The people that you know and trust and love, and you can just come up to them, or maybe not even people you know or love, but just people you can talk to. When God opens the door to look at them and say, what do you do on Sunday morning? Do you go to church or do you know God? God will open those doors. God will give you opportunities. My problem is I don't always take them. Many years of my life, was embarrassed of God, but I was embarrassed of being looked at differently. Embarrassed of being, maybe shut out, or maybe them saying, oh, that's that church boy. I got a little older now. I have many regrets, and I've asked for forgiveness for God for that. That I ever shunned him, that I ever put him aside, worried about what people would think about me because of him. He's been so good to me for me to do that to him. So all I'm saying is that you don't know what God can do. It's not our job to do the big things. All he asks us to do is to tell other people. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school, and I had it marked also, the Great Commission of go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He doesn't say go save them. Right. Go teach them. Go tell them. With the things that I do, I don't see a lot of people on a daily basis. I'm happy to stay home all day most of the time. But there are times that I am out and about. I'm getting gas. I'm running to the gas station. There are people that I see. There are people that I know. I have family. And I know that Katrina's my wife's brother-in-law, or I guess he's my brother-in-law too, or whatever you want to talk about. I've talked to him a couple times. And I think that's good. That's the bare minimum, the requirement of actually doing something. Being about God's business is really all I've got left to do in life. He saved my soul. I'm ready to die. Really, I am. I've gotten saved, and I know where I'm going to be one day after a while. But I am now saying that I am God's son. I am a child of God. I should be working for my Father. And we don't do that much today. You'll see some family businesses that get passed along from generation to generation. But at this time, this was pretty normal that the father and the sons would do the same thing. I think about James and John and his father. They were fishers. And I'm sure if James and John would have stayed on that same trajectory, they would have kept on being fishermen. And their kids would have came into it. The same thing needs to go with God's family. His job is saving the world as he did. He's passed it on to me. I should go out there and help him. I should be right there next to him, fighting the fight that he is fighting. I'm not going to be as good as him. But each and every one of us has a circle of influence that we can talk to. And as we pick that discipleship out and go and teach and who Jesus is, and that person would get saved. They have a total different circle of influence. It sounds like one of those old pyramid schemes, right? That we go into, that you get this person and you tell 10 people and then they go off and tell 10 people. And it ends up nobody gets anything, right? But that's not how God's pyramid works. It's not a scheme. We can't expect results if we don't put any of the work in. And as I looked at it, and I thought, man, I have so many times been just afraid to talk to people. In the 41st chapter of Isaiah, in the 10th verse, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." My fears are a little crazy. My fears are human. My fears are a manly made idea. Because if I am saved by God's grace, and I read the 10th verse here, I have nothing to fear. Nothing. He'll be with me. Romans 8 and 11. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There has been a fight going on between God and the devil since before this world was even thought of. God won the first fight, and I'm going to tell you at the end, he's going to win again.
Amen.
We're on the winning team. We don't always get to see that in sports. As I played football for 14 years. And there were some games I went into that I was pretty sure I was going to win. I knew the team that I was going against. I knew they didn't have very good or big players. I knew I was going to be just fine. But I've also seen those same type of games where that underdog did win. I'm going to tell you, in this situation, with God, when it comes to the end, he's going to win.
Amen.
As God's people, I'm not saying we're not going to lose every now and then. I'm not going to say we're going to lose most of the time. And you talk to the world and to the sin that they're into, and we try to get them to change to God, all we can do is take Jesus to them. And many times they'll shun us. Many times they're going to turn us away. But you know, every now and then you come upon a well. And there's a woman there. And she listens. And who knows, many, one day and many other days, were saved because of that interaction.
Amen.
So you don't know what's going to happen. If you're afraid that somebody's not going to be your friend because you know Jesus, you probably don't want to be friends with them anyways.
Amen.
I want to see this little church grow. That means I've got to put the work in. I don't know who it's going to be that I'm going to be able to talk to yet. I don't know where I'm going to be at. I don't know where my house is going to be, who my neighbors are going to be, how it's going to work. I just pray that God would give me the strength and give me that opportunity to take his name to them. And who knows what can happen from there. Don't put a limitation on God. He's done much bigger things in the past than help you through talking to somebody. He's done much bigger things in the past than bringing some people into this church. He can do it. Prayer changes things. There's a little figurines we used to have that somebody whittled, or a carved from my dad many years ago, that sit on our shelf. And it was a little pulpit and some altar, and it said on it, "Prayers changes things." And I thought, man, it was a really neat thing. And as I've gotten older, and as I came across things and went through things in my life, I realized how important that was and what it means that prayer can change things. If you are saved by by God's grace, your prayers are going straight to his throne. And as I said earlier, he hears them. Sometimes he says no. I know sometimes he said no for me, and I'm thankful for it now.
Let's get in touch with God and see what we can do. Let's not put limitations on it. Let's not think that it's too small for us or too big for us. If he tells you, he's going to give you the opportunities. He will tell you. He will talk to you. He will. And then if that's not enough of an amazing thing of salvation, that you get to talk to personally to the creator of the universe. We're blessed. I want the people next door to me to be blessed. I want the people I work with to be blessed. That's my message this morning. I want to see this little place grow. Not because of me, but because of God and what he can do. But he wants us to work for him. And we owe it to him, don't we? Hadn't he done things for us? A lot of things for us.
Everything.
That's right. That's my message this morning. Anything on anybody's heart?